I'm sure you'd be astonished if none of our three stories you should know referenced the World Series, and I would be too. But we're going to hold the one that does for last, because my guests for the weekly feature that gives two well-informed experts and one radio host each the opportunity to present a story of the week, and they want to talk about other things. They are sports writer Eric Malinowski and Shira Springer, who covers sports for the Boston Globe. Welcome to you both.
Hello.
Thanks, Bill.
Eric, I really like the idea of beginning this discussion with a celebration of a celebration, and I understand that's at least part of what you have in mind this week.
It's part of it. So I was at the Golden State Warriors home opener on Tuesday night, and it was a fun evening because they won their first NBA championship in 40 years back in June, so that was fun and exciting. But at the same time, for me, I couldn't help but think that it was just a little bit bittersweet because the Warriors are, as everyone here in the Bay Area knows, they're just 3 years away from moving from Oakland to San Francisco. Mm. I mean, I get it. You know, on the one hand, Oracle Arena has been, it opened in 1966. It's the oldest arena in the NBA. It's got to go. But at the same time, you know, we're talking about the core identity of who the Warriors are, especially who the fans are.
Shira, do you yearn for an arena that's been abandoned or demolished or both?
Well, I liked the old Boston Garden, if that counts, and I watched several games from obstructed view seats.
There were plenty of those.
There were plenty of those. But, and, you know, I've also been to Oracle Arena, or actually before it became Oracle Arena, the same building. And I have really fond memories of that arena. Great fans there. They do a lot of trash talking, and they're real close to the action. And it's a really, really, like, frenzied environment out in Oakland. And I'll miss that when I go to a Warriors game in San Francisco.
I think the one real saving grace here is that, like I said, it is 3 years away. The Warriors could win one or two titles over that time. There's a very realistic scenario where that could happen. So there's so much success that can come in the next 3 years that people will have plenty to be happy about.
Do you realize how weird it's going to sound to most of our listeners for anybody to say the Warriors could win the title in two of the next 3 years?
This is where we are. This is where we are. It's weird, but it's true.
I had thought that perhaps we had reached the point where all the Sepp Blatter stories had been told. But even though he's serving a 90-day suspension, Mr. Blatter is still talking. And Shira, would it be accurate to say that although he's in a hole, he's still digging?
Yes. This week he told TASS, the Russian news agency, that FIFA decided to give Russia the 2018 World Cup before the official vote.
Well, votes are messy. You know, I can understand.
Yes, I think FIFA would say that, you know. Right. But I'm wondering, you know, have we reached a point finally with Sepp Blatter and the way FIFA seems to operate in a totally corrupt atmosphere where they have to look outside for leadership when that election comes next February in February 2016? Because it certainly seems, I've looked at the list of seven candidates, including one who has also been suspended for 90 days. And I just wonder if it's time to bring in people from the outside because FIFA simply can't do it themselves.
Mm. I'm going to take the high road on this because I'm a soccer fan, and I'm going to assume that all publicity is good publicity, and actually, having heard myself say that, I'm going to realize how stupid it sounds, and I'm not going to say anything else.
Sepp Blatter has a job for you.
You take it, Eric.
Well, I'm in the middle with the new Bond movie coming out shortly. I'm in the middle of sort of a Bond movie marathon, sort of refreshing from the old ones, and FIFA basically is like a real world specter, except nobody goes around wearing the rings. I mean, it would actually add more respectability if they just wore like little FIFA rings with, you know, little evil looking spiders on them. But I feel like I've expended so much mental energy on FIFA corruption over the last few years that it's like I feel like we've just become totally desensitized to it.
And see, that's what Sepp wants. I think he thinks that by, you know, just throw out all the scandals, people will just throw up their hands and say, I can't make sense of it.
Yeah, he's outlasted us.
All right, it's time to revisit Game 1 of the World Series, which was delayed by a power outage that made it impossible for the folks in New York to provide instant replay capability to the people in Kansas City, the umps who would watch it. The managers both agreed the game should go on without that feature. And I should hope so. Baseball was played at the highest level for more than a century without anybody being able to review calls. All an angry manager could do was get in the umpire's face and kick dirt on his shoes. And I, for one, wish that that's the way it still was. And Eric, you can agree with me or you can get off my lawn.
I would actually be in favor of more technology.
Oh, no, Eric.
However, to me, the crux of the problem here is all about implementation. I think at baseball, it takes them so long to agree to these new developments. And then I think they just go about it really poorly. You know, I mean, I do think they have good intentions, and there's so much more baseball could do. They could put sensors in the bases.
No,
I don't feel like they've got the right mindset, the right mentality in order to apply these things correctly. And that's where I get hung up on.
But I don't think you have the right mindset. And I think Shira agrees with me, and I'm going to let her say it.
I do agree with you, Bill. And I think the crux of the problem here is actually too much tech. And I'm going to get inside the mind of those umpires in Kansas City. And I think what they were really worried about was all the people at home who could perhaps get angles on the game that they didn't have. I think there's too much tech that has the umpires running scared a bit. And I want to see a throwback to a time where you have techless games. I'd love, first of all, to see a World Series game that starts before 8 p.m. And I'd love to see a tech ban.
Maybe have somebody recite Casey at the Bat.
Sure. If that makes you happy,
stretch,
Bill.
I'd love it.
Yes.
Absolutely.
If you're saying that we should ban tweeting during baseball games, I would be totally in favor of that.
Oh, really? Okay, good. But that won't happen. But I think there should be just one pristine old-time World Series game.
Yeah, and when you go to school on that weekday when there's a day game of the World Series, the science teacher puts the little black and white TV up on the desk so you can watch it. I remember.
See? That would be cool.
My guests this week have been sports writers Eric Malinowski and Shira Springer. Thanks to both of you.
Thanks for having me.
Thanks, Bill.